October 31st. That priest named Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses, those statements, to the church door of All Saints Church, also known as Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. 95 theses having to do with the sale of indulgences. For a brief review, indulgences were letters of pardon signed by the Pope and were a shameless money grab on the part of Rome. The Pope and the salesmen of indulgences throughout Europe were making it very easy for people to be saved. Just purchase this letter of pardon from the Pope, and you will be saved, and so will your dead loved one for whom you also purchase an indulgence. Purchase a letter of forgiveness from the Pope, and he will give you entrance into heaven. You can finally rest in peace, no matter what, knowing that this letter in your hand guarantees you eternal life and the reprieve from hell and purgatory. See how easy it is. Just do this one thing. Buy this indulgence, and you will be saved. Luther's response to this sale that was taking place in Germany at his time in his own parish by these salesmen from Rome, or appointed by Rome, can be summarized in the 95 Theses in this way. True repentance is required, and is all that is required, in order for someone to have his sins forgiven. God forgives sins through all of his priests, who all hold the keys of the kingdom of heaven, so that what the Pope decrees in Rome has no special authority. Therefore, letters of pardon or indulgences signed by the Pope and purchased for money are worthless documents when it comes to salvation. That's the summary of the 95 theses. There are lots of little details in there. The final two put a fitting exclamation point on the whole document. Christians are to be exhorted that they be diligent in following Christ, their head, through penalties, deaths, and hell, and thus be confident of entering into heaven rather through many tribulations than through the assurance of peace. Following Christ, their head, through penalties, deaths, and hell, entering into heaven through many tribulations. Luther makes it sound like Christianity is not for wimps. Like Christianity involves a fight, a struggle, a contest that is both much easier to win than the Pope was making it, and also much harder. Easier because our victory over sin, death, and the devil does not depend on our goodness or our works, but only and alone on Christ and his works and his death. Harder because peace cannot be purchased with a coin. And the true path to heaven is marked by a daily struggle to live in contrition and repentance and to bear the dear cross as we follow Christ our head through shame, through persecution, and through temptation. That brings us to the gospel you heard appointed for the festival of the Reformation from Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus too paints the picture of Christians not as wimps, not as passive participants, but as a violent mob breaking into the kingdom of heaven. And from the days of John the Baptist, Jesus says, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, what is Jesus referring to? How does the kingdom of heaven suffer violence? And how do the violent take it by force? It sounds like a terrible thing. Poor kingdom of heaven. See how violent men are attacking it. The thing is, no one takes hold of the kingdom of heaven except those who enter into it. To take hold of the kingdom of heaven is not to persecute it. There was plenty of persecution and always has been of the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus speaks of people taking hold of the kingdom of heaven as if it's a good thing. And it is a good thing as Jesus describes it. He's not describing physical violence against anyone. He's describing a sort of spiritual force or violence of people who are practically pounding their way into God's kingdom. He goes on to explain. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, until the time when Jesus spoke those words, what had been happening from first John and then after him, soon after him, Jesus, when he came on the scene in his ministry? They had been proclaiming this new doctrine called the gospel, the good news. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And he pointed people to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. What a difference that was from the time of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. Jesus says that all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. The prophets and the law, the Old Testament, announced the future coming of the kingdom of heaven in the person of the Messiah, the person of the Christ. Until then, the Jews were all bound under the law of Moses, burdened and heavy laden with the law's accusing voice, you shall, you shall not, and the soul that sins shall surely die. As for the Gentiles, the non-Jews, they were basically excluded from God's people, excluded from the promises of the Messiah under the law and the prophets. But when John came, followed by Jesus, all of that changed. And the kingdom of heaven was preached as something that had now come. The kingdom of heaven began forcefully advancing into Judea and Samaria and Galilee and beyond. And people began flocking to John and then to Jesus in droves. And they began pressing into the kingdom of heaven like never before because of this simple message, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Here is Christ. Where Christ is, there is forgiveness, free forgiveness, and eternal life. So who are these violent people who are taking hold of the kingdom of heaven by force? They are, as Jesus points out just a few verses earlier in Matthew 11, the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, the dead, the poor, physically weak, and sinners, all of them, but being made spiritually strong by the gospel, even as they were also being made physically strong again by Jesus' healing miracles. so that nothing could separate them from Christ. No devil, no Pharisee, no sin. The violent who were taking hold of the kingdom of heaven by force were the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the public sinners. As they heard the preaching of John and then of Jesus and actually repented and believed in the gospel. Foolish people, all of them, insignificant people, rejected people according to the earth's standards, but according to God's purpose, they were chosen people, blessed people, even violent in this sense. They were not sluggish, lazy, when the gospel came to them. They were not timid. They didn't yield to the threats and terrors of the devil or the world, but contending and doing battle against the devil and breaking into the kingdom of heaven by faith in Christ, where they were safe, protected, and forgiven, all without purchasing a single indulgence. The reformation of the church that took place as a result of Luther's 95 theses was a violent assault on the church in a good sense. In the same sense in which Jesus talked about it in today's gospel. Over the centuries, the devil had injected enough false teachings into the preaching of the Catholic Church that the souls of men were again burdened and heavy laden with guilt. As the sweet gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sins was muffled and drowned out by the preaching of works righteousness, by the preaching of a false hope and a false peace. A peace that was connected not to Christ and his holy precious blood shed for us, but to empty promises of peace made by popes and to invented good deeds that would supposedly bring one closer to God, like becoming a monk, like becoming a nun, like lighting candles, fasting, praying to saints, and doing works of penance. But from the days of Luther until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Christians have again been turned back to the Word of God as that which is above all. And there we have found the truth, that the law of God is not so easy to obey as either purchasing something or doing a work, but that the law of God in its holiness is a holy requirement of a holy God, that those who would be his people must be just as holy as he is. The law doesn't say, try hard to obey the commandments. The law doesn't say, do your best and everything will be okay. No, the law says, you shall and you shall not, and the one who sins will die. When the law is preached like that, as it was again from the days of Luther, then all people are revealed as sinners who fall short of the glory of God, so that all who rely on the law to be saved are still under a curse. But from the days of Luther until now, Christians have also heard again the gospel of God proclaimed as it truly is, the message of God's grace to sinners, in the sending of his Son into our human flesh to keep the law for us, to live for us, to die for our sins, and to be raised again, and to forgive sins to all who believe in him, justified by faith alone in Christ alone. From the days of Luther until now, Christians have again understood that doctrine matters, because our only connection to Christ is through the teaching, the doctrine of Christ. As he said to those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. From the day days of Luther until now, Christians have been turned away from the useless works invented by men and have been instructed again in what truly good works are. Works that proceed from faith. Works that are in accordance with God's word. Works that are done to serve our neighbor in love for his good. From the days of Luther until now, Christians have returned to the patient bearing of the cross, understanding that there is no comfortable, easy path to heaven, but only the way of the cross, as we follow behind Christ crucified. Christians have again understood that the church is not supposed to look glorious on this earth, and Christians are not supposed to look prosperous or successful, but must follow Christ, our head, through penalties, through deaths, through hell, knowing that he will eventually lead us through this valley of the shadow of death into the glory of the resurrection. We understand that the earthly glory and grandeur of Rome is not the mark of God's favor, but a sign of his own doctrinal decadence. On the contrary, the preaching of the pure word and the administration of the sacraments of Christ, that is the mark of God's favor. Whether the church is big or small, whether wealthy or poor, whether growing in number or shrinking in number. From the days of Luther until now, there has been an angel, a messenger, flying in the midst of heaven, as you heard in Revelation 14, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. You have heard that gospel here in this nation. You have confessed it. You have believed it. Now is the time for us as Christians, as Lutherans, not to shrink back in fear or despair. Not to fall into apathy or indifference, but to cling to the word of Christ ever more firmly, to hold out the word of Christ ever more boldly, to take the kingdom of heaven by force, as it were, at God's own bidding, and to press into it ever more urgently, until the devil and death and the gates of Hades are defeated forever at the coming of Christ. Christianity is for sinners. Christianity is for the meek, the poor, and the lowly. But Christianity is not for wimps, for the lazy, for those who want earthly ease and comfort and pleasures. Christ and his truth are worth fighting for. Christ and his truth are worth dying for. More than that, Christ and his truth are worth living for, each and every day. Let us hold on to the gospel firmly, faithfully, forcefully, to the praise of God the Father, to the honor of God the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. A blessed Reformation to you. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.